I want to speak for a few minutes about baptism. Obviously very appropriate for this morning. And I explained briefly earlier the symbolism of baptism. The symbols of being washed clean and the symbol of new birth. And I want to focus on the second of those two themes, the theme of new birth, or as the passage that Tanya read to us just now, the themes of death and resurrection. If you've got the passage open in front of you, page 1133, verse 3, Paul says this, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life." So I want to focus on this second theme of new birth, of death and resurrection. I want to do that partly because it's the neglected theme of baptism. It's easier to understand the symbol of washing. It's a bit harder to understand the symbol of new birth. And I want to do it too because these themes of new birth and new life are very relevant to us today as we stand on the edge of a new year. And we think about new starts and new resolutions. And as we do that, I want us to think about the new start, the new birth that we have already experienced in Christ. I want you to imagine that one day I decide that I want to play football for England. And I'm really set on this. And so I go to see Gareth Southgate with his waistcoat on. And I say, "Gareth, I want to play football for England." And Gareth says, in his waistcoat, "Okay, Will, show me your skills." So I show him my footballing skills. I show him my keepy-uppies and my dribbling and my long-range passes, and I run around and I put my heart and soul into showing Gareth what a great footballer I am. And at the end, I go to him and I say, "So, what do you think?" And Gareth would say, "Sorry, Will, you can't play football for England." And I would say, because I'm really set on this, "But Gareth, I really want to play football for England. Tell me, what can I do? Can I train a bit harder and a bit longer? You know, how close am I? What can I do?" And Gareth might say to me, "Will, if you want to play football for England, you must be born again. As you are, with your footballing skills, you have no chance. No matter how hard you try, no matter how long you train, you would need to play football for England, to go through a miraculous change. Really, Will, you would need to be reborn." Jesus spoke about the need for each one of us to be reborn, born again, if we want to be part of his kingdom. As we are, we have no chance. Something radical must happen. A total inner change. We can't do it no matter how hard we try. Only God can affect this change. And this radical change is symbolized in baptism. Paul says in the reading we just had, "We were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, baptism may not seem very radical. We baptized Toby just this morning. He's sleeping very peacefully now after the trauma of baptism. He's sleeping very peacefully. And you might say that what we did just now with Toby was something very traditional, very conventional, perhaps quite conservative, a lovely, people might say, but essentially harmless ceremony. And of course, when we baptize babies, we perhaps shy away from the themes of death and resurrection. Here we are, full of thankfulness for a new life, and you don't want the vicar to go on and on about death and resurrection. It kind of wrecks the mood. And of course, with a little baby, we are concerned and careful about how radical our symbolism is in baptism. Toby wasn't that happy about me just a few drops of water on his head. If I had taken Toby this morning and plunged him into a sink full of water and held him under until we'd all fully appreciated the symbolism of being buried with Christ in his death, and then and only then, when we'd all got it, lift him out again, there are five pews full of Morrises who would have had something to say about that. And not just something to say, they'd have come and got me. We're naturally a bit cautious. But this is one of the themes. In fact, it's the main symbol of baptism in the New Testament. We were buried with Christ in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. In the Anglican Cathedral in Geraldton, in Western Australia, they have a font, or such a baptistry, which really makes this point. That it's in the middle of the cathedral, right in the main aisle, right at the heart of everyone, and it's in the shape of a coffin. It's a powerful, striking symbol. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. When we become a Christian, that change symbolized in baptism, when we become a Christian, we are united with Christ. Everything that happened to Christ happens to us, says Paul. We were buried with him and we were raised with him. And our life is now hidden in him, kept safe. This symbolism is brought out powerfully, especially, of course, in full immersion baptism. Sometimes we have that here at St. Nick's. We hire the baptism pool. We have it at the back of church. Great big deep pool. It's a dramatic event. Just the setting up for it, there are mops and towels ready. People come with changes of clothes, and it's sort of quite a spectacle if you've seen that here at St. Nick's. And then most dramatically, of course, aside from the mops and the towels and the changes of clothes, you have that moment when the candidate is plunged under the water. And I baptized a few people in my time here at St. Nick's that way, and some of them are quite hefty people, and you wonder, am I going to get them up again? Fortunately, they've got a bit of buoyancy in the water, so they come out more easily than they look. I've learned that. But you plunge them under, buried, and then you bring them up, raised. And it is this, as if in baptism, God is saying to the person being baptized, your old life has ended. and your new life has started. When we baptize children, little Toby, he's hardly had much of a life, all 5 months of it so far. But his parents and his godparents have made promises that we pray he will grow up to confirm for himself. We've prayed for him today, and his baptism is a reminder that even for sweet little Toby, a radical choice lies ahead of him as he grows up, whether or not to unite his life to Christ. And for all of us, whenever we were baptized, and whether it was a lot of water or a little amount of water, baptism is a dramatic symbol, a one-off symbol, but the process of putting behind us our old life and living our new life is lifelong. But because we're united with Christ, we are able to do this. Verse 6, Paul says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." All our lives we will struggle with sin. Temptation doesn't leave us. But baptism reminds us not only that we will always be forgiven, washed clean, but crucially that we can win the battle, because sin is no longer our master. Imagine you have a terrible boss at work. Some of you don't need to imagine that. It's very much a reality, perhaps. I won't ask you to put your hands up. A few staff team here at St. Nick's around. Wouldn't want to reveal anything. Imagine you have a terrible boss at work, and they are unpleasant and bad-tempered. They treat you badly. They make unreasonable demands. But you have to do what they say, because they're your boss. They have a certain power over you. You have a contract that binds you to your employer. And imagine you decide to leave your job. You've had enough and the contract is over. Perhaps this is a good idea legally, but you rip up that contract and you find a new job and a new boss, and it's much better and you're enjoying it. And then one day into your office walks your old boss, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing over there? Why aren't you doing what I've asked you to do?" And he begins to make the same old unreasonable demands. And perhaps your instinct, he or she was your boss for so long, your instinct might be to kind of flinch and kind of snap to it. "Oh, yeah, right, okay." And then you stop. And you say, "Hang on. I don't have to listen to you anymore. You're not my boss. I am under new management." And that's something like the image that Paul uses to explain the change that comes over us when we became a Christian. When we become a Christian. In fact, he uses the image of slaves and masters. That's even more extreme. We are under new management. We're set free from the demands and the threats of sin, because we have died and been raised. Our old life has ended and our new life has started. And when sin comes knocking, we're under new management. So as we finish, I want us to, we've thought about much about Toby's baptism this morning. I want us to think, but I hope you have been already, think about our own baptisms. Those of us who are baptized here this morning. Some of us will have been baptized as children, just like Toby has been. Some were perhaps baptized as adults. For some of us, when we were baptized as children, it was perhaps done as the conventional thing. But nevertheless, in the goodness of God, it has had a much more radical effect than that. And as we stand on the edge of a new year and we think about New Year resolutions and new starts and new challenges, I want us today to look back to our baptism, where we were buried and raised when our old life ended and our new life started. In fact, in a minute, as we sing our next song, I'm going to ask those who'd like to come out and come up to the font and just dip your finger in it and sign yourself, just as we did with Toby, sign yourself with the cross as a reminder of what happened radically in your baptism, as a reminder that we are under new management in Christ. If you'd like to do that, it might be helpful as we finish 2018 and prepare for 2019. There are some here this morning who won't be baptized. Perhaps there are some children here who won't be baptized and they're waiting with their parents for the right time. You might want to talk to your mum or dad or who you're here with about when would be the right time for you to be baptized. Perhaps you're an adult here this morning. Perhaps you want to ask, is 2019 the year for you to do something as radical as what we've just done for Toby this morning? Let's pray together. Lord God, help us to grasp in our minds, in our hearts, in our living, what you have done for us in Christ. May these symbols, may this reality of death and resurrection, old life over, new life starting, would they be burned powerfully into us, that we might live the reality that you have given us in Jesus. We pray that especially with the year ahead, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.